All right, the full council will convene at 7:02 PM. Clerk will please call the roll. Here.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Kirby?
Here.
Mr. Lanza?
Here.
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 Councilman Knapp, can please lead us in the salute to the flag?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the
General communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for general communications? Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. Just like to request a moment of silence for Mr. Anthony Ledoux, passed away on November 24th after a battle with cancer. He and his family were longstanding members of the community. He was a veteran of the U.S. Army and served in the Vietnam War. Just like to request a moment of silence on his behalf.
We will have a moment of silence. Does anyone else have anything for general communications? Seeing none. Executive communications? Seeing none. Moving on to acceptance of minutes from council meeting held on November 17th, 2025. Does anyone have any objection to approving said minutes? All right, so approved, noting no objection. Next up, we have executive session of the City Council pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 42465, Section A, Subsection 2. This public body will convene in an executive session regarding pending litigation, specifically Bremer versus City of Warwick, case number 25CV00435. Solicitor.
If a member of the council would so move us into executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 42465A2 regarding pending litigation in the case of Bremer v. City of Warwick, case number 125CV00435.
So moved.
All in favor? All right. All opposed? Abstentions? All right. We're now going to executive session.
Favorable action?
For action, this would be Councilman Napa.
Move favorable action on appointment.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser and others. For any questions or comments on the appointment? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes. Appointment process.
Next is Zoning Board of Review, Walter Augustin, Councilman Gephardt.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on the reappointment of Walter Augustin.
Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
8 yes, 1 no. Appointment passes.
Next is Lorraine Byrne. Again, apologies on pronunciation. Councilman Gephardt?
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Gephardt?
I move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments on the appointment? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Next is the appointment of Paul DiPietrillo. Intergovernmental, Councilman Gephardt.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley. Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, appointment passes.
Next, we're on the consent calendar, PCR 135-25, resolution relative to bids. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 135-25.
Seconded by Councilman Gephardt. Anyone have any questions or comments on the resolution relative to bids? And if Councilman Lattiser could please announce the item or items removed.
The item is formerly 2026-256 Buttonwoods Avenue Pipeline. It is now PCR 137-25 as amended, I guess.
All right, and the next item is PCR 136-25, resolution relative to abatements. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommended favorable action.
And for action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 136-25.
All right, seconded by Councilman Muto. Does anyone have any questions? So first, and there's one item removed from that, correct?
I'll let the solicitor address it.
Yes, there was one item removed from the abatements. That is the abatement of Martin Living Trust in the amount of $415.20. That will be dealt with after the consent calendar, now known as PCR 138-25. So on PCR 136-25, the new amount is $15,390.
All right, does anyone have any questions or comments on the consent calendar as a whole? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Recused.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 recused.
All right, and now the first item removed, bid 2026-256, now PCR 137-25. Yeah. Councilman Lattiser?
Committee recommends favorable action.
Sure about that?
You were talking to the other one. No, 137-25. Committee had recommended holding until the next meeting in December.
All right. Does anyone object to the proposed hold on PCR 137-25? Councilman Foley.
I object.
All right. So that being the case, we'll need first, is there a motion for, so to discuss the item, we need a motion on the floor, whatever that might be. So does anyone have a motion for PCR 137-35?
Move favorable action.
Motion for favorable action. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Foley. All right. Anyone have any discussion, comments, concerns?
Yes, this is a motion to hold.
Correct. This is a motion for favorable action proposed by Councilman Gephardt. Bear in mind, we've all heard what everybody had to say during committee. Please don't repeat it. You can just say everything I said before. We understand what that means. If there's new stuff, by all means, mention it. But otherwise, you can just refer to your prior comments. And that goes to everybody, not just Councilman Lattiser.
Sure. So the reason has already been discussed as to why I had made the motion to hold. The argument against holding is, well, it's going to, you know, we can't delay the process. This is going to happen. You know, holding it's not good. I'd point out that the company, Stantec, has moved this forward 2 months because of the inclusion that they want to make. And that is going from starting construction on September 15th to November 28th. That's 2.5 months. What I'm asking is to hold for 2 weeks to have the contractor appear before the city council to explain how this information began in August and didn't get to us until 3 days after we voted on a budget.
All right. Does anyone else have any further questions or comments on this? All right. So ultimately, this is a request for favorable action on PCR 137-25. As I already explicitly acknowledged, some of Councilman Lattiser's questions do merit a response. My view of it is that we can get those responses after the fact, as we've done with plenty of other items, especially when we're, as here, we're not faced with a situation where we're like, oh, we'll just go with the other bidder. That's not where we're at. We need them to do the work. We have some questions about how that'll go and whether or not they'll come back. But I know from my perspective, if we're concerned that they're going to come back, like if they go down to 30 feet or whatever it was, and say, now we need more money, I'm perfectly happy taking the stance of no. You can't just screw us over and expect it to be okay. At that point, we're in a different situation. We're not there, and hopefully we won't be there, especially with if we take a very public stance on it now. That way all parties, especially the vendor, are well aware of if they try to pull a fast one later on and if they are difficult when it comes to getting answers. Oh, I see a light come on, Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. Just through the President to the administration, just wondering if it's appropriate maybe at this point to ask for the administration's support in getting any answers to lingering questions that we may have as far as delay in receiving information from the company, and or are they confident that 80 feet is going to do it and they're not coming back because they discover that, oops, it's actually 120 before we get through the silt? Would the administration support us in that effort to get those questions done or answered? If we approve now, we'll move forward with the project.
Could you just repeat those?
Just looking for some support from the administration that the questions about why there was so much delay from August, I believe it was August, till now. And
so let me reiterate that in the memo that is presented to the council, the borings were taken in August. It doesn't say the test results from the borings were in August.
Right. I think that's, we're having some discrepancy on what that timeline looks like.
Right. And we can ask that question when they got there.
Yeah. The long and the short of what we're looking for is just confirmation that on the administration side, that any questions we forward to you post this vote, whichever way it goes, that you'll endeavor to get them answered by the vendor. That's all.
To the whatever best of their ability, yes.
All right. Seemed like a safe bet, but what was worth confirming. So seeing no new speakers on, clerk will please call the roll on the motion for favorable action.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Seven yes, two no, motion passes.
It's worth noting we would have
a question. So I had made a motion, and it was seconded for holding this item until the second meeting in December. How did it get to this point now?
So the committee recommendations are that they are a recommendation and essentially a report of the findings of a perspective of the committee that is submitted to the council. In practice, what happens is when, as the council president did tonight and as he does every night, he offers that recommendation as essentially a unanimous request. And if there is no objection, then the motion that it implied holding is becomes an active motion to do so. In this instance, we had an objection to that unanimous consent. And the next item that happened was Councilman Foley put, or Councilman
Gebhardt
put a motion forward on favorable action, was seconded, we discussed, and the result was just called. But the practice is the recommendation to hold is a recommendation to the council, and the council can accept that recommendation in that form by unanimous consent and agreeing to do so. But in this case, it was objected to.
All right, so next we have unfinished business, PCO. By the way, that's not to say, if you have any further questions, obviously we'll address them, but just can't do it here because it's not before us now. PCO 27-25 sub A, an ordinance amending Appendix A, zoning ordinance of the city of Warwick. I'm sorry? Oh, you're absolutely right. Thank you. We also had pulled off an abatement, so we'll do that first. Abatement, Martin Living Trust, PCR 138-25, Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 138-25.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action.
Is there a second? Councilman Napa. All right. Any questions or comments on the abatement of the Martin Living Trust? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi.
Recuse.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Muto.
Yes.
Mr. Napa.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
All right, now we're on to unfinished business. PCO 27-25 sub A, an ordinance amending Appendix A, zoning ordinance of the city of Warwick regarding fences, drive-thru window, overhead clearance, and special use permit for lot size standards for duplexes, city of Warwick, petitioner citywide. This is on behalf of the mayor. It's the second passage. Land use, so Councilman Ricks.
Committee recommended, move to the floor for discussion. I'm going to move to hold to January 5th. If I can have a second to that motion for discussion.
All right, so it's a motion to hold by Councilman Ricks to January 5th, seconded by Councilman Napa for discussion. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I won't repeat what I said a couple of years ago. I won't repeat what I said last time around about a month ago. What I'll do is I'm going to raise a specific point about the type of change that enacting this resolution, this ordinance would have if we go ahead and move forward. So I understand about affordable housing. Duplexes, new construction, adding on effectively converting a single family house to a two family house, that is not necessarily affordable housing, of course. I'm not trying to argue that it necessarily is. Sometimes it is, but not necessarily. However, basic economics here. There are more people who need housing than there are houses. We can look up the national stats, and we certainly know that Rhode Island is no exception to that. A few years ago, I remember when this city council passed an ordinance regarding short-term rentals, Airbnbs and the like. Now, if a person is renting out a room in their own house, short-term rental, yeah, that's not really going to have any impact on the housing supply as a whole. People start renting out entire houses as short-term rentals more or less year-round. Well, of course, that has an impact on the housing supply. When I made that point a few years ago, I was, I believe one member of the public, it was, scoffed at that and said, oh, no, that's not so. There's no impact to the housing supply. But you know what? Even a small impact, it does make a difference. I know someone, Warwick resident, who was going to upgrade their house. They were already a Warwick homeowner. They were going to buy a new house, a little bit of an upgrade, and then, of course, sell their existing house which, you know, presumably would have gone to a family who would have lived in it. Well, that Warwick resident, by attempting to buy that upgrade, they were outbid by someone who converted that larger house to an Airbnb. It removed one house from the housing stock. That affects supply. Every single decision we make here to make it harder to increase the housing stock, it's not helping our supply. Now, this is a national problem. Warwick is not going to solve a shortfall of millions of houses nationwide, but we all have to do our part. It's very easy. I've heard it from different people, pointing the finger out to Foster, Scituate, other more rural communities that, oh, their zoning is so incredibly restrictive, they need to ease up, and they need to do their part. Well, we all need to do our part. We can't point the finger at any other cities and towns unless we are willing to step up and do our part as well. I'll tell you what gets me with things like this, where it hits home. During my day job, I speak with a lot of tenants. Most of them I simply can't represent. It's not a situation where I can necessarily add value. But I become aware of many situations where people are living in illegal basements. It's happening all over the state. It is most definitely happening in Warwick.
Councilman Ricks, I'm unclear the relation to the ordinance before us. And I might just, it might be a me thing, in all fairness, but I've lost the connection.
I'll clarify. So making it more difficult to build duplexes, that affects the future housing supply. These are units that are never going to come online while we are in a housing crisis, while I would imagine that everyone here probably is aware of being on the city council of at least one situation or multiple situations in Warwick where, yeah, there are people living in illegal basement apartments. There are people who are living in encampments, whether they're homeless or whether they're in less than ideal housing. So this is not going to solve that problem. Of course not. But it is a step that Warwick can continue to take to make it a little bit easier to build duplexes in single-family zoned areas, as long as, and this is the law currently on the books, if the house is in that footprint where someone would be allowed to construct a single-family house, I see no reason why a person can't construct a duplex within that same footprint. I'll tell you what, the setbacks, these are the same setbacks, really. Well, there is a change in the proposed setbacks here that make it even more difficult. So, for instance, in an A7 neighborhood, A7000, the idea being that this would require minimum side setbacks of 15 feet. Now, if you have both houses being 15 feet from the property line, we're talking 30 feet between these houses. That's quite a lot in the densest size that's available under our zoning. Even more spread out in those other zones, the A10, A15, etc. So, I'll tell you what. I have a next-door neighbor. They have a garage that's literally 2 feet off of my property line because up until the 1980s, there was nothing to prevent that. I can tell you, this is not some horrid situation. I'm quite fine with it. It did not destroy my life. It did not destroy the neighborhood. This is the house I grew up in, and it doesn't make a big difference to me. Now, under the existing zoning ordinance, that would not be allowed. It's a matter of existing zoning ordinance. This is not allowed. So we are not allowing any further encroachment on people's setbacks or the like. So we don't have to worry about that particular boogeyman, even though I don't think it's much of a boogeyman. Instead, we are talking about the current zoning ordinance would allow for people to construct a two-family inside the exact same footprint as would be allowed for a single family. I really don't think that that's so extreme. So we're not even dealing with necessarily those setback issues that avoids it. But if we allow this ordinance to go forward on second passage right here, then we're effectively taking away the possibility of these future units that would ease some of these local concerns about the housing supply. We would be doing less than we are doing right now to address this housing crisis. Now, even back when I was on a committee appointed by Council President McAllister to address the housing crisis, a lot of the possible solutions to try to do something about the housing crisis came down to money. Even back then, I was suggesting this very solution, which the council passed a couple of years ago, to make it a little bit easier to build a two-family in the single-family zone. And the reason I advocated for it back then and now is because this is a free market solution. It does not overly burden neighborhoods. And it's effectively allowing people to exercise their property rights. And it's not something that's costing the city any money any more than any other new residential building, new residential unit.
Councilman Ricks, this is a motion to hold, and you have 30 seconds left to articulate why it should be held.
Thank you. So I would suggest that we hold it and really examine here, if we are going to be doing something about the housing crisis, what are the alternatives going to cost as a city, which would be borne by all of the taxpayers? Leaving this as it is, it's not costing us. So I'll leave it at that for the moment.
Okay, as a reminder, this passed 8-1 last time. 8-1 or 7-1? 8-1. So you've heard the reason stated for the request to hold. No other lights on, so clerk will please call the roll on the, oh, sorry, Councilman Gephardt.
Just one follow-up. I'm thinking back to when we heard this the first time. So this does not remove the ability to build a duplex, right? It still exists. The way the planning director described this was that there was an omission in some updates made previously, which made it too permissive, and there were actual real world on the ground issues developing due to that scenario. And so this dials it back somewhat, but not completely removes it. I'll defer to the chief if my recollection is correct or incorrect.
Bill Facendi, chief staff. Tom Kravis, the planning director, had to leave for a family thing with his children. As I understand it, during the last amendment of the zoning ordinance, the dimensional table for two families was omitted. In the zoning ordinance, if you look at the zoning table where two family dwelling units are allowed, it's by special use permit. And in the section that deals with how the zoning board approves special use permits, the standard that they use, the standard was removed inadvertently. This puts it back. It's making the approval of duplexes under the standard legal, as I understand it. Not an attorney, but I believe if the zoning board approves special use permits for two families, they could be challenged either by an abutter or someone else, and the zoning board really has nothing to stand on because the standards don't exist. That's one of the things that are occurring in this. And again, I understand this was a motion to hold. If it's the council's pleasure to hold it to January 5th, that's fine. It did pass 8-1. What Councilman Ricks is looking for is allowing by right to build duplexes in all districts, I believe. I'm not taking words out of your mouth, but and this, what the city is looking to do is put back the standards, dimensional standards that were in for years. That's all we're doing.
Okay, thank you. That confirms my recollection. Appreciate it. Thank you, Chief.
Councilman Ricks, you're out of time.
If I may briefly respond, 2 minutes.
Pardon?
If I may have 2 minutes to briefly respond.
You're requesting additional time. Someone needs to thank you for that.
Thank you.
So is there any objection to an additional 2 minutes for Councilman Ricks? Seeing no objection, 2 minutes is granted.
Thank you. In that case, if it's simply a matter of reinserting the table, then I would say I would move to amend and simply strike through the current plus 50% square footage requirements and to simply replace them with the single family requirements. I believe that that would solve all of the issues there. So if I may table my motion to hold and instead make that motion to amend.
Solicitor.
Are you withdrawing your original motion?
Yes.
Okay. Hear no objection. So we're back on the base item.
So is there a motion to amend?
Yes, motion to amend to strike through the plus 50% requirements and put them at the single family requirements as to the square footage. So the various other changes, I believe, in the table, I believe that they actually generally mirror the single family, aside from the strike that. Yeah, I believe that they mirror the single family. So instead of, for instance, under the residential 7,000, instead of it being 10,500, have it at 7,000. Residential 10,000, have it at 10,000 instead of 15,000, and so on as to the 15 and the 40.
So is there a second to that motion?
I'll second for discussion.
All right. And I know we didn't we not hear proposed amendments to this last time and they failed? So are we just relitigating this, or is this fresh and new? That's a question for anybody. Councilman Napa, your light's on.
I can't recall whether or not we proposed this specific amendment. But I would suggest, and I'm not sure how to go about it procedurally, that an amendment with this gravity, I think, would be appropriate for Director Kravitz to be present to speak on it. I would like to hear his input before I would feel comfortable voting on it. So if we're going to, Councilman Rick's amendment, I think, has some merit and is worth the least discussion, but I think it would be prudent to have Director Kravitz here to speak to that end and the implications of what, Councilman Gebhardt had brought to the table, that there were some real-time on-the-ground problems with dropping duplexes in these certain parameters. I think Director Kravitz should have some input to educate us as to what we're actually voting on before we vote on something with this amount of gravity.
All right, so there's a motion to hold. All right, motion to amend, sorry. I had hold on the brain.
In light of Councilman Napa's comments, I would withdraw my motion to amend, and if I may get a second on the motion to hold to January 5th.
I second that motion.
All Motion to amend has been withdrawn. Now Councilman Ricks again proposes a motion to hold, which was seconded by Councilman Lattiser, correct?
Correct.
All right. So again before us is the motion to hold to January 5th. So just, and it may have been stated and I missed it, is there any reason why this would be a problem on the administration side? I assume not, but there's no reason not to ask.
I mean, if you're going to try to amend it, I would strongly oppose amending it, but holding it January 5th, that's fine.
It seemed like a safe bet, but wanted to double check. So seeing no lights on, the proposed motion to hold, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Mr.
DeLuise? No.
Oh.
Mr. Getbach?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muno?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
All right, unanimous consent. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? All right, seeing none.
Seeing there's no new business in front of this honorable body, I move to a docketing session.
All right. Any objection to go to the docketing session? Seeing none. Ward 1.
No.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3. Excuse me. Ward 4. Ward 5.
I have 2. One is a resolution in regards to installing a stop sign at the intersection of Riverview and Wentworth. And I do have a traffic study for that.
Public safety.
The other is an ordinance, and it's an ordinance in regards to no parking Riverview Terrace on Katy Avenue and Lippitt Avenue. And I have a traffic study with that recommendation as well.
Ordinance, Ward 6. Ward 7. Pass.
Pass.
Ward 9. All right, and then I have one amending section 64-5, other officials. Ordinance. All right, so no further business. We adjourn at 8:48 p.m.